Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to The Buckmaster Show. Hope you are having a good day. The home of The Buckmaster Show, AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. It is also Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, a station with great reach. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. And you can hear our programs on really any one of three venues for 24/7, anytime, anywhere in the world listening at buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live during the noon hour each weekday. We will spend the first half of the show with the author of a fascinating new book about the evolution of talk radio in this country. 30 minutes past the hour, District 10, Democrat Brendan Patrick, who is in a three-way primary race for two seats in the Arizona House of Representatives. Then we'll close out the show with a newsmaker interview with the mayor of the city of Tucson, Jonathan Rothschild. We encourage you to be part of the conversation by calling the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. Or you can submit your questions using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page, which is simply Bill Buckmaster. If you have a story idea or a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, we encourage you to contact us. Talk radio has had a dramatic impact on politics in this country. In a new book titled The Right Frequency, the story of the talk giants who shook up the political and media establishment, author Fred Lucas examines how talk radio has evolved from the early days of broadcasting in the 1930s and 40s. Fred Lucas is the White House correspondent for CNSnews.com. He's also a contributing editor for Town Hall magazine. He's written for the Weekly Standard, the American Spectator, Human Events, and the Washington Times, and the New York Post. Before going to Washington, he reported on state capitals in Kentucky and Connecticut. He earned his master's at Columbia University Graduate School of Journalism. Fred Lucas joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Fred, how are you?
Doing great. How are you?
Doing real well. Fred, what was the genesis of this project?
It came as much as anything, just wanting to really look at the impact that talk radio has had, not just on the conservative movement, but on politics as a whole, on the nation's political discourse.
And you lay out the origins of talk radio all the way back to Walter Winchell. How influential was Winchell compared to today's talk show giants?
Winchell has been called the inventor of infotainment, and he's much of what he was doing has been imitated by not just talk radio, but cable news in a lot of ways. Even in print, I mean, he started out as a newspaper columnist, moved into radio, the TV actually for a little while, but wasn't very successful at that. But he had a huge, huge following. He was actually a major supporter of FDR during the New Deal era. But then he moved on to be a big supporter of Joe McCarthy and rallied a lot of people behind his cause.
What kind of reign did he have? How long was he kind of the number one guy?
Through most of the 30s and 40s. I mean, it lasted for a long time. People just wanted to hear what Winchell had to say. If he talked about you, you became famous. And his reach went beyond politics. It went into showbiz. He would talk about Hollywood. I mean, he was very much a gossipy type person, but he had strong political opinions as well.
Fred Lucas is with us. He is the author of a new book, The Right Frequency, the story of the talk giants who shook up the political and media establishment. If you have a question or comment, Mr. Lucas would be delighted to hear from you, 790-2040, 790-2040. Conservatives and Republicans, Fred, of course, have embraced talk shows and talk radio, but that really wasn't always the case, was it? There was that establishment Republican senator griping, that talk radio is really ruining America.
running them. At, you're right, right. That was Trent Watt during just a few years ago, during the 2007, after it was talk radio that really came in when George W. Bush wanted to push an immigration reform bill through. Talk radio host Rush Limbaugh and others stood forward and said, hey, this legislation is amnesty. Almost in unison, various radio commentators, conservative commentators, were speaking out against this kind of legislation that a lot of establishment Republicans in Congress were supporting the president on. But, you know, once talk radio rallied their followers, people were, you know, calling and melting the phone lines at Capitol Hill opposed to this legislation. And Trent Lott, who was at one point the Senate Majority Leader for the Republicans and was in the leadership at the time on the Republican side, he quipped that talk radio was running America. Shortly after that, coincidentally, Rush Limbaugh published the Limbaugh letter with him on the cover saying, "I run America."
Well, I'm sure that many liberals and progressives would say that talk radio is not running America, but is ruining America, correct?
Yeah, so some would. I would say, and I point this out in the book, I mean, an important theme in the book is that talk radio has been very historically and politically influential and important to America, but it's not this notion that it is somehow all-powerful over the country, that it runs the country, or even runs the conservative movement or the Republican Party is not really true. If that was the case, it's not likely that Mitt Romney would be the Republican nominee this year, and it's not likely that John McCain would have been the Republican nominee 4 years ago, for that matter, that we would have ever had a Democratic Congress or Democratic president.
Talk radio really can mobilize people, and we know from what Mr. Huckabee, Mike Huckabee, whose show precedes ours here on KVOI, had proclaimed Chick-fil-A Appreciation Day, and a lot of people.
I had lunch there today.
A lot of people.
Long line.
Yeah, there have been long lines all over the country. Some of your thoughts about Mr. Huckabee's proclamation?
Oh, well, I was just evidence today. It was an amazing turnout. It was sort of astonishing just seeing. I mean, I went to lunch with some folks from work today at Chick-fil-A, and we stood in line for roughly 40 minutes or so. Wouldn't normally do that, but today was a particular day. It was news. It was definitely sort of a cultural phenomenon today, I think.
You grew up in Fredericksburg. Did you grow up in Virginia?
I live in Fredericksburg.
You live in Fredericksburg, right. Virginia. You grew up in the South, though?
Yes, right. In Kentucky, actually.
Did talk radio have an influence on you growing up and wanting to get into political journalism?
Somewhat. I occasionally listened to the Limbaugh show when it started getting big during the early 90s. Wasn't a huge fan, I wouldn't say. I became more political-minded when I got into college. And then I started seeing how talk radio really had such a huge impact on things, particularly in a sense that the dominant media culture did lean so far left, and talk radio was sort of the counterbalance to that. It didn't quite have the same reach as the network news, and so forth. So it doesn't give, it's not an equivalent, and it doesn't give the conservatives an equivalent voice. But in a lot of ways, it did give conservatives a voice, and they were able to use that as a megaphone. That was a megaphone that they didn't have with just when the only conservative media outlets were National Review and Human Events. This was an aspect of conservatism commentary that had a lot of humor and entertainment to it.
You know, getting back to the evolution of talk radio, we talked about the 30s and 40s with Walter Winchell. And of course, when I grew up in the 60s, AM radio was associated with rock and roll radio. FM came along in the 70s, early 80s became the dominant force for music. AM was kind of searching for a mission. And then in many ways, Rush Limbaugh came along, and the advent of the modern day talkers. Talk radio saved AM radio, didn't it, in many respects?
Oh, yeah, completely. AM was just completely phasing out. Rush Limbaugh saved it, and he built an industry. A lot of people stand on his shoulders. At the same time, I would say he stands on the shoulders of a lot of other folks. But it took some sense that they were fading out. But Rush Limbaugh saved the AM dial. And the what we did see is that was made possible largely because of the end of the fairness doctrine. And something that the right frequency does get into and explain is how the fairness doctrine was really abused for political reasons during the 1960s. That you had, under the Johnson administration in particular, you had the Democratic National Committee orchestrating FCC complaints to silence opposition voices on the air, and in most cases, they succeeded.
So are you...
go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, so you're saying in many ways the success of talk radio today is because of the demise of the fairness doctrine.
Right, yeah, absolutely. And one of the folks I interview a lot of hosts for this book and a lot of industry insiders, but I also interviewed Mark Fowler. He was the FCC chairman for the Reagan administration, and he walked me through, and it was a really fascinating interview, how they took apart and dismantled the fairness doctrine. And that wasn't that was quite controversial at the time, even among conservatives. Phil Schlafly and some other folks were against getting rid of the fairness doctrine. They thought that, hey, the media is so liberal now that that the fairness doctrine is the only thing that might give us some equal footing. The ironic aspect there, I think, is that to some degree, several conservatives they underestimated the power of the free market, because once you got rid of that regulation, people voted on the radio dial and they voted for more conservative commentary.
Fred Lucas is with us. He's the White House correspondent for CNSnews.com, and he's the author of The Right Frequency, the story of the talk giants who shook up the political and media establishment. We will continue after we hear from the lineup of Buckmaster Show sponsors. Stay with us.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs, and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Lim and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing: people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Remember when you used to make mud pies when you were a kid? Here's your opportunity to get down to earth again and have some fun. Come join us for the Silver City Clay Festival, August 3rd through 5th, in unique, beautiful, historic Silver City, New Mexico. This three-day celebration offers exhibits, 14 fabulous workshops, youth activities, films, and all sorts of mud fun. Everyone is getting in on the clay action. Downtown restaurants, bars, musicians, and more. Also available are free lectures, tours, and clay demonstrations. Two juried events are taking place, an art tile show and a neo-numbreño competition. Don't miss the gala opening event at WNMU. For more information or to sign up for workshops, go to clayfestival.com or email info@clayfestival.com or call 575-538-5560. Come have fun and play in the mud with us. See you there.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Well, 22 now on the Buckmaster Show. Welcome back. We are speaking with Fred Lucas. He is the author of a new book, The Right Frequency, the story of the talk giants who shook up the political and media establishment. Mr. Lucas is joining us from his home in Virginia on the Buckmaster Show live line. Fred, let me ask you something. Why are there so few progressives or liberals who have been successful in talk radio? We have a few prominent people like Stephanie Miller who has managed to break through on that side of the aisle, but pretty much it's dominated by conservatives. Why is that, Fred?
Well, some people would tell you that nobody likes to hear know-it-alls. One reason, and it's outlined in The Right Frequency, is that when this was started, it was very much started when progressives really kind of thought they had to fight back on the airwaves in the 1990s. They kept looking for their own version of Rush Limbaugh, what they tried to produce was Mario Cuomo, and that was a failure. They tried to stick with former politicians, and that just didn't work. They tried Jim Hightower, a former agriculture commissioner out of Texas. He had kind of a folksiness about him, but it just didn't work like they had hoped. They tried Jerry Brown for a while, but it didn't really work. He eventually went back into politics, of course, and became governor again in California. And then fast forward a little bit during the Bush years, I think they saw a big opening. The left said, hey, talk radio, right-wing talk radio became huge during the Clinton era. So now we got a Republican president. Now everybody's going to want to criticize him. Now's our chance. And Air America started, and that was a big flop. It was a bad business model. I mean, most of the, or really all the conservative talk radio personalities. They now some are part of a network, but they pretty much all started as individual hosts and gained their own following. Air America tried to get this movement going, and it was a lot of hosts that didn't garner any ratings. It was open to great mainstream media fanfare, but in the end, people didn't want to listen to it, and it was collapsed under mismanagement and a corruption scandal. Just a few years after opening, it changed hands a couple times, and it was just turned into a big debacle.
Fred Lucas is with us. He's the author of a brand new book, The Right Frequency. Fred, let me ask you, the dark days of talk radio certainly would have to be when we had someone shoot and kill a talk radio host. Oliver Stone went on to make a movie that was kind of loosely based on the incident, the movie Talk Radio. Did that change the way talk radio was? Did it change talk radio in many ways or any ways?
I don't particularly think so. I mean, I think to some degree, a lot of hosts were maybe more emboldened to say that, you know, we're not going to be, cowed by this. We're not going to be afraid or intimidated from expressing an opinion.
What's the future of talk radio? And I know many of the big AM stations are also, you know, carrying their shows over on FM. You're going to see more and more of that, do you think, Fred?
Yeah, that's definitely the case. You can hear these big hosts almost anywhere. And, of course, your smartphones, you'll be able to hear it on that. Almost any station, any show. I think we're moving towards that direction in almost all media, and you're going to have so much convergence of things, and to where, you know, print broadcast is going to be sort of, you know, largely in a handheld device from now on, and media that's going to really work with that is going to flow in that direction. And we're seeing like Glenn Beck. I mean, he started out as mainly just a radio guy, got a TV show like a lot of radio show hosts have done, and now he's moved on to this new venture about this pay TV, GBTV. Seems to be doing fairly well so far, and I think that's going to move on. I mean, people are going to look for ways to make it a more profitable model.
But you mentioned a little early on in the interview that perhaps we are overestimating the power of talk radio. Did I hear you say that right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, in terms of saying it's running America and sort of somehow preventing people from governing a certain way and so forth, which has been the accusation.
But how much influence then does it have over our political process?
I think it has a lot. I mean, historically, we've seen that it has a lot. Just as other things can have a good amount of influence. But one of the things I'm writing here locally, at the local level, we've seen where talk radio show hosts have helped start grassroots movements that stopped congressional pay raises. They've started grassroots movements that stopped tax increases and Texas and North Carolina. It was talk radio programs that got the ball moving on the recall vote in California of Gray Davis in 2003, and which is really an amazing feat considering the size of California. And also Bob Grant was a guy I interviewed for this book, and he's really a legend in terms of talk radio and sort of bringing it, influencing some of the really big names like Mark Levin, Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, the big stars of today, and he still broadcasts. But he had a big role to play in a lot of New York, New Jersey elections going back to the 1960s. He played a big role in kind of influencing people to get out to vote in governor's races, mayor's races, and so forth.
Fred Lucas, your book is available in bookstores and pretty much Amazon and all the usual outlets, I guess, huh?
Right. Amazon. It'll be in bookstores on Friday, actually. But you can pre-order it now on Amazon, BarnesandNoble.com, BooksAMillion.com, all the other website, SoBook.
Okay. Fred Lucas, thank you very much for being with us.
All right. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Fred Lucas, he is the author of The Right Frequency, the story of the talk giants who shook up the political and media establishment, new book that has just been published. We continue now with the Buckmaster Show. After the break, we'll be talking politics as we continue with our Buckmaster Show interview series. Stay with us. SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The Fed says the economy is losing strength and it's repeating a pledge to take further steps if the job market doesn't show some sustained improvement soon. The Fed took no new action today as it wrapped up a two-day meeting. Mitt Romney's campaign is finalizing plans for a multi-state bus tour to begin late next week. The Republican presidential candidate expected to visit Virginia, North Carolina, and Florida, although the schedule may change in the coming days. Maryland prosecutors say a man accused of threatening to shoot up his workplace and identifying himself as a joker has been charged with misdemeanor telephone misuse. He's undergoing an emergency psychiatric evaluation at a hospital. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 14 points. The NASDAQ is down 3. More details at srnnews.com.
If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My foot doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and 5th. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Cold Road Extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowland Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for biodevelopment. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, 1234 on AM 1030 KVOI. This portion of the program is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico, just 3.5 hours east of Tucson to historic Silver City, known for its vibrant community. Downtown Silver City hosts a variety of art galleries, gift stores, historic buildings, fine dining, and quaint homes. There's plenty of great accommodations in the Silver City area, including Faywood Hot Springs and Georgetown Cabins and Continental Divide RV. Find out more from southwestnewmexico.org. We continue now with our Buckmaster Show candidate series, giving our listeners a chance to hear me go one-on-one with the folks hoping to represent you in Southern Arizona. Today, we are spotlighting the race for the Arizona House of Representatives in District 10, which runs from Campbell Avenue in Tucson between Speedway and 22nd Street, opens up to the east, capturing the Sabino Canyon and Tanque Verde areas. In the House primary, there are three Democrats. Two will move on to the general election. Those running include State Representative Bruce Wheeler, who was elected to the House in 2010, Brandon Patrick, and Stephanie Mock. We talked with Stephanie yesterday. Today we talk with Brandon Patrick. Brandon, how are you?
I'm well, sir. It's an honor to be here with Tucson's most trusted voice in news and information.
Thank you so much. That's an honor just to hear you say that.
I read it on the website today.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Brandon Patrick is a former Arabic translator for the Air Force.
Yes, indeed.
You were in Iraq and Afghanistan, right?
Yes, indeed I was. My first deployment was over Iraq, actually. We were living in Kuwait, flying on a jamming platform over Baghdad. My second deployment was on the ground in Afghanistan.
And you worked as an aide to Tucson City Councilman Paul Cunningham?
I did indeed.
And now you decided to try it yourself?
Standing for office, yes indeed.
And why? Why did you decide to take the plunge?
Well, you know, it's since leaving the military, you know, my intention and my aim has been to serve the Tucson community, and I think I've done that through nonprofit work and in the council office. I was an intern in Congressman Gifford's office as well. I've run, been involved in Democratic activism and all of that. But when you look at the condition of our state as a whole, you know, and the decisions being made in Phoenix, those affect us, I think, more detrimentally down here than in most parts of the state. I'm very, very concerned with the direction that the state is going, and particularly the almost punitive focus that the legislature has taken on the Tucson area and our residents here. So I want to stand for Tucson, represent our community, and make sure that we are taken care of at the state level rather than looked at as a target, because honestly, we're a democratic city and I don't think that they like that much up there.
Where does this "let's punish Tucson" come from, do you think?
You know, I think that, you know, Tucson is the Democratic stronghold of Arizona in terms of numbers. They don't like that we have a majority Democratic city council. They don't like that, two-thirds of our voters tend to lean towards the left. They don't like our county administration. They don't like our county supervisors. It's a purely political and personal thing. And I think any opportunity that they can have to undermine the democratic process down here, which they've tried several times, or the electorate or the will of the electorate, they will take. And you get situations like we've seen more recently where they're manipulating our elections, or even worse, they took over the Rio Nuevo project downtown and managed to screw that up far worse than it ever was before. I don't know how they did it. I didn't think it could be done. But the one group, I tell you this, the one group in Arizona that could mess Rio Nuevo up even more was the Republican majority in the state legislature, and they did it.
Brendan Patrick is with us. He's one of three Democrats in the District 10 Arizona House of Representatives race. The two top vote getters there will go on to face State Representative Ted Vogt and Todd Clodfelter, the GOP chair of the current LD30. Tell me, is District 10, is it a competitive district now this time around in this newly reconstituted District 10?
It absolutely is. By the numbers, I believe that the Democrats, we have it by about 4% in terms of registration. The Republicans have a pretty good turnout operation on the east side, so I wouldn't say it completely mitigates the registration difference, but it makes it very competitive.
You know, everybody's talking. I've interviewed many candidates already, and there'll be more to come before the primary, but Brendan, everybody's talking about jobs. If you are elected, what would your priority be in that area?
I think absolutely in a state like Arizona, it has to be solar energy. You look at the situation right now, 73% of Arizona is unincorporated public land. We've got all the room in the world to slap some solar power, you know, solar panels down and put people to work manufacturing them, installing them, and all of this. Right now, Germany is the solar capital in the world. And for our listeners who have been to Germany, they'll know it's not nearly as sunny as we are here with 300 days of sunshine. So I think solar energy would be, the first step.
Want to take a quick call?
Absolutely.
All right. Dan is with us, and Dan wants to challenge some comments, I think, that you made on Rio Nuevo. Go ahead, Dan. You're with Brendan Patrick.
Thank you. Yes, I've never heard such whining in my life, for Pete's sake. Don't you think that the state government is the resource for the tax money for Nuevo Laredo of the New River Project to start with? I mean, that was state money given to the city of Tucson.
Okay, Dan, thank you. Go ahead, Brendan.
Well, what I would say is, you know, certainly the state has a place in administering taxes and things like that in the state of Arizona. But here's what the quote unquote newly reconstituted Rio Nuevo Board is doing with your tax money right now. Nothing has been built. Nothing has been improved in the Rio Nuevo district. All they have done is taken your tax money to sue you for more of your tax dollars. That is what your money has been spent on. Millions and millions of dollars in litigation and mediation that has accomplished absolutely nothing. They have done nothing but sue us using our own money to do it. It's like being in a divorce where you're paying your wife's attorney.
You are pushing for the development, as you said, of Arizona's solar energy industry, prioritizing that over projects like Rosemont Mine.
Yeah, absolutely, because Rosemont Mine is basically a very temporary answer to a more systemic and long-term problem. Rosemont, you know, offers, let's say, 300 or 400 jobs for 20 years, and in exchange, we get a giant hole in the ground. And that will replace an environment, a natural environment unique to Arizona, unique to southern Arizona, that produces dollars in terms of tourism and other avenues like that. That is a long-term moneymaker that we can continue to use. And the other thing that bothers me about Rosemont is that it's being offered up to us right now, you know, almost in a time of dire economic need, when we are at our lowest and neediest, we are offered this opportunity to give Augusta Mining Resources, which is a Canadian company, millions and millions and millions of dollars in revenue worth of copper in exchange for jobs that will go away. It's not a permanent fixer here.
Now, the question for you, let's go to Charles' solar power question. Go ahead, Charles. You're with Brendan Patrick.
Yeah, Mr. Patrick, first of all, thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you for thanking me.
No matter what our differences may be, we are all Americans, and you have served the nation.
Thank you for doing that.
I'd like to focus this question specifically on some of the rather spectacular failures of solar. Of course, you know, Solyndra comes to mind, and other companies. The only market, solar will evolve, and it is hot. It is the way to go eventually. But why not let the market evolve rather than jamming the market by diverting tax dollars that could go to other really much better things that exist now, as opposed to future technologies that aren't supported by the market?
Thanks, Charles.
That's an excellent question, Charles. And here's what I would say to it: you know, no one is talking about, you know, I agree with you absolutely that the solar industry has a way to go, but we have a state and a climate and an environment here that would be ideal if we want to choose to lay the groundwork for that solar industry now. Remember that right now we have more than 200 tax incentives and loopholes in our tax code already. We are giving away revenue hand over fist to people that are not giving it back in terms of jobs. If we were to close those tax loopholes today, we would make up more than our yearly state budget. We'd make up more than $9 billion. So why not close some of those or seriously reevaluate the tax code and put it towards these industries where we can actually have a long-term benefit? So yes, it certainly has a long way to go, but let's lay the groundwork here in Arizona for an industry that, when ready and when viable, will, you know, last the, you know, last for a significant amount of time and actually sustain itself here. You know, we're in an ideal position for that.
Where can folks get more about your campaign, Brandon?
That would be, it's kind of a long one, patrick2012.nationbuilder.com.
Give me that again.
Patrick, P-A-T-R-I-C-K, 2012.nationbuilder.com.
Got one more for you. Terry, I think we can squeeze one more in here with Brendan Patrick. Go ahead, Terry.
Yes, good morning. This is Terry Solaire. I'd like to thank Brendan for his service to the country.
Thank you very much, Terry.
You're welcome. Thank you for your rational and very good ideas concerning Rosemont, which is a nightmare, and your way to have sustainable industry. Thank you again.
I appreciate that, Terry. Thanks.
So the campaign, a lot of door-to-door stuff?
Oh, yes.
And your signs are all over town. You're running a traditional campaign.
I'm actually running as a participating clean elections candidate. Those, I have seen them. They're not my signs. As I understand it, there's an independent committee that's advocating on my behalf, but I have nothing to do with that.
All right. Brendan Patrick, running in District 10, one of three Democrats, top two. We'll move on to the general election. Brendan, thanks for being with us. Good luck.
Great to be here, Bill. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. We continue next with the mayor of the city of Tucson, that as we continue with Buckmaster on a Wednesday.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowland Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already, two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show, a live line, is Tucson's Mayor, Jonathan Rothschild. Mayor, how are you today?
I'm good, Bill. Thanks for having me.
Well, I guess you are breathing a sigh of relief, and so are a lot of other folks who ride the bus, the SunTran, the commuters. At least we won't have a strike for a few days, and hopefully we will not have a strike at all. What are you hearing?
I'm hearing exactly what you're hearing. This is interesting, one of those ones where the city of Tucson, although we provide the transportation service, get not a seat at the table because SunTran is somebody we contract with, and the bus drivers are unionized, and by law, they can only speak to SunTran, and we end up paying the bill. But everything I've heard so far is that things are working out and that we should have no discontinuation of service, and I'm hoping that the agreement they made is fair for everyone so that the bus drivers feel like they're fairly compensated, but at the same time, it's something that we as the city of Tucson can afford.
City of Tucson is in the midst of a operation cleanup, and it's great, and a lot of us are saying, yeah, it's about time. The Department of Transportation is ending. Is it a four-month effort?
Four-month program, correct.
Yeah, is it ending soon?
I think the end of August, so I think we're about three-quarters of the way through it.
But things are starting to look better, aren't they?
That's what people are telling me, and you know, and it's a great lesson, and I think City Manager Moran and I both had the same idea, which is we need to show people in the city that we can accomplish things. And interesting enough, the medians, which were not a big-ticket item, I mean, we threw about an extra $800,000 at this with outside contractors and the like. But it just makes such a difference to a community when you're driving around and your medians are clean.
Yeah, it really does. And I know our friend Phil Cedar, who hosts the Green Thing show here on KVOI, he's pushing this Operation Clean Sweep. This will not have anything to do with the medians, but what it will have to do with, as you know, Mayor, is everybody just kind of cleaning up the sides of the roads on their own streets.
Yeah, and I've spoken with Phil. I'm going to be out promoting that. I think he wants to do it October 20th.
That's right.
In fact, I was speaking with the fellow who runs your station today, Doug Martin, and said, look, what is there that I can do? And I'll work with Phil to make sure that, you know, we're coordinated as a city, that his program goes off as well as possible, because part of that is an awareness program. Part of that is just letting people know, hey, this is where we want to put our emphasis. And at some point, we pick it up from there. So I really thank all you guys for working on that.
$100 million bond project, since we're talking about Tucson streets. And I know some folks have already declared this dead on arrival, but others are saying, hey, we need to do something about these streets, and really some kind of a fix-up is in order here.
Well, the people I've talked to have not declared it dead on arrival. Let me kind of explain the program. Number one, we are going to, in fact, at next council meeting, have a map that shows every street that's going to be fixed. And it's going to be 85% arterials, 15% residential. We're going to institute a bond, independent bond oversight committee, so that this money will be watched and spent exactly as we've programmed it over a five-year period of time. And we are going to basically assure that the money is spent. Of the $100 million, I think the soft costs, or the cost that we get for overhead, which is for financing. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm there.
Okay. Less than 1% of it will be for that. So the $100 million bond, $90 million to roads. Now, the other part of that is for the average Tucson householder, it will cost about $2.25 a month to help fix our roads. And I'm going to be out promoting it. Again, I think there's a question where the people of Tucson have to decide what they want to do. But I just think fixing our roads, like cleaning our medians, is something we want to do.
Mayor Rothschild is with us on the Buckmaster Show. And, Mayor, you finished your 180-day plan. Now you're looking at a 360-day plan for your next year in office. What are some of the highlights of that?
Well, the principal highlight is that, which is my philosophy, is that you have to have a strong economy to have a strong community. And if you have a strong community, you have a good quality of life. So again, we've divided our 360 into topics: economy, community, city services, and the environment. And among the highlights, the bond issue is on there. An annexation program is on there. I believe that we can no longer afford in this region to lose $70 million a year to the general fund in Phoenix. We have higher property taxes than anywhere else in the state. We have higher childhood poverty rates, and we need to bring that money back, one, so we can provide more services, two, so we can hopefully cut taxes. But we're going to look at things like international trade. Mayor Stanton and I next month are going down to Guaymas, Hermosillo, and Mexico City to try to promote international trade. Guaymas, as you know, Bill, is going to be the site of the new deep water port, basically the new Long Beach. And we need to start working now to assure that that traffic that gets off in Guaymas is being routed by rail through Tucson as a logistics point. So we're going to start on that work. But, you know, there's all the big work, but I like to think sometimes of the small work. Mm-hmm. And the small work really starts for me with constituent services. My job is to show people that the city of Tucson can be responsible and do a job right. And if you email me with your problem at mayor1@tucson.org or tucsonarizona.gov, I get that onto a department head. I've had great experience. That department head gets back to me within 48 hours with an answer every time. Now, you may not always get the answer you want, but you will get an answer. So we're going to look at things like local business preferences. We've just passed an ordinance within the first 4 days of my 360 to basically give legal preferences that we can legally for purchasing from local companies, because I believe we got to buy locally. We're going to continue to work on our business incentive program, so when people build here, they can know what it is they can expect from the city and what benefits there might be. We're going to work to put together our city planning department. We're going to work to have a self-certification program for architects and engineers. And we're going to do things like have a poet laureate and get to work every day. There's no end to the work, Bill.
How about your own poetry?
You know, I was really hoping that the left brain and the right brain could work together, but it is slowed down, and I that's one of my regrets. But maybe it'll come back.
How do you like the job so far?
Bill, I really enjoy it. I love talking to people and listening to people. I love trying to solve problems. And for me, for someone who was born here, been here my whole life, and someone who really thought they knew the community, this has been such an eye-opener to me. I mean, you just really get the full breadth of the community. So I love it.
All right. Mayor Rothschild, thanks for spending a few minutes with us. Have a great day.
All right. You too, Bill. Appreciate it.
Thanks a lot. And we want to tell you that bottled water on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Folks, I wholeheartedly endorse Culligan water. Why buy some expensive imported bottled water when you can get the best right here? What is it about Culligan? I love it. It just simply tastes better. That's going to do it today for our midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. We will do it all over again on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, tomorrow at 12:04. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI Cortero Tucson and 930 KAPR Douglas, The Voice, Good News Radio Network.